testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Lord, we need your word into our hearts to sustain, to keep us, to feed us, and to enable us to overcome and endure to the end. Lord, I pray you grant this to each of us now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I have a title this evening. And we're calling our teaching today, Self is Often the Issue. Self is often the issue. And I want to base this from a familiar chapter and verse, and the latter part of the verse in Luke 14 and verse 26. Luke 14 and verse 26, where Jesus speaks about following him, putting him first in everything. The important part of the verse is the latter part. Yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. If anyone comes to me, does not hate father, mother, children, brother, sister, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And we understand that what our Lord is saying with regard to hate is simply hating the alternative. And he's saying exactly the same, hating the alternative to the self-life wanting its way. Now, we know that only God can help us with that. It is not something that is achievable in human nature. That is why, indeed, we need a new nature. That is why we are born again. And being born again means that God can now start to work the reality of the Word of God that we preach and that we hear and we read. And he makes the reality in us and through us where we're to hate the alternative. And there are going to be times we are going to be tested with the alternative. And God is going to show us where we are with regard to it. Let's make no bones about it. Some sadly have been challenged with the alternative and no longer walk this walk or want to associate or fellowship with us, because the alternative is always Jesus first, denial to the self life. And there are times when we're going to be challenged with that, as our Lord makes absolutely clear. You see, we have been taught the difference between denial of self and self-denial. Some may regard denial of self by going to church on Sunday instead of going out with the family. They've made a choice, or they've made a sacrifice, but that is not denial of self. That is simply a religious act. That is something you've sacrificed for that Sunday or meeting or whatever it is to put first. But that is not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about 24/7, the walk in the Spirit in this life of the denial of the self life. And that is entirely different. And this is probably the most difficult aspect of his command. Most have problems with this. Most have problems with the ability to the denial of the self life. And many of us at times try it. We have a go at it, but it's simply reduced in religious works of self-denial. Until eventually, God gets our attention. And we have to realize what the Holy Spirit is really saying to us. Because if you try and walk this walk in self-denial, you will eventually give it up. You will eventually walk away, because you will be so miserable. You're trying so much to give up things, to be good, to do what you're told, that you'll have a face as long as a cricket bat. There's no joy, no pleasure, no praise, no worship coming through you. Why? Because you've never settled the cross, the denial of self. And until one does this, it is the greatest hindrance. And it hinders the deeper life. And we never really know the blessings of the deeper life, its teaching that we have been given over the years. You see, if we don't deal with the self-life, in other words, surrender that life up to God, and we know it in Romans 12, 1 and 2, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord. It is the giving up of yourself, the placing of yourself, your heart, your whole being on that altar. If we're not really willing to do that, we're still going to be oppressed by the past, where before we were saved or before we came to Christ, All we knew was to develop the self-image. And the self-image will always challenge the walk of the deeper life. In other words, if we don't deal with this self, you will expect self-respect. You will expect self-control, self-assurance, self-reliance, self-awareness, self-ambitions, and so on. We will still admire the self-made person who succeeds with hard work and is highly respected, or one who has an independent spirit, or one who develops self-confidence in their abilities. They have that wisdom, that judgment. We will look upon it and we will admire it, just like our culture admires all of that. The self-made person, the independent person, the person that made money, has been successful, or one who is making a lot of money, and so on, often envied. The trouble is, when self is not dealt with, we all think we're worth it. We all think we're so important. We all think we have a right, and so on. And that will plague us until we deal with that self. And when you're dealing with self, you're also putting that pride on the altar as well. You know, interestingly, we're all experiencing, aren't we, the cost of living going up and up and up all the time. And this great gulf between the rich and the poor. We're seeing it. It's not just in this country. It's a global thing. What fuels all of that? What fuels in society the cost of living that keeps going up and up and up? It's very simple. It's pride and greed, which is increasing in the world. And as a result of it, the cost of living just spires and goes up and up. Why? Because everybody thinks they're worth it. They're the best thing since sliced bread. And there are just some of the problems. And Jesus said that very thing, that very attitude, that very spirit, that very nature has to die. And the only way that can die is to present yourself on that altar and take up your cross daily and follow the Lord. That will deal with the self-life, so that you have the power, the ability for the denial of self, which is quite different. You know, we see why Jesus' command to give up the self-life presents such a crisis to most Christians. You see, many who read this, they try to live it and reduce it to works of the flesh. And that's what we try and do. We're trying to live it and we're reducing it to the works of the flesh. And we're not experiencing the power of the cross, the power of the Spirit that works this within our lives and hearts. And there is the difference. When we get that revelation, that understanding of how serious the self-life is, when it wants its own way, that independent spirit. When we have a revelation of that, when we see that through the eyes of Christ, we start to praise him and thank him that he's delivering us from the very things that the world lusts after and strives after. And that is why there's so much striving going on in the Christian's life. Where there is strife in the Christian's life, there is still self on the throne. It's not hard to discern, because the believer is not experiencing the Prince of Peace residing in their life. That continued fellowship. And that is vital for each of us, because it ministers to the soul, it ministers to the spirit, it ministers to the mind. If your mind is always in a turmoil, indecision, confused, it's pretty well the fact that self is so present. Self is wanting its way against the will of God. And that's why Jesus' command is to give up that self-life. Because if not, it's a crisis to most Christians. And you will be miserable. You will not really have the joy of the Lord that is your strength. You will not be experiencing or entering into the deeper life, teaching and its blessing. You won't really fully understand what it is to walk in the Spirit and that relationship with Jesus. And that's why many try to live this, and it's simply reduced down to just flesh, just to works. You see, the giving up of the love of privilege, desires, to defend oneself, to defend your rights, your position, your possessions, until you are willing to take what Jesus says literally, you will not experience the deeper life. You won't go deeper with God. That is why I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 5 to 7, the Beatitudes. Read it again if you haven't, because the Lord means exactly what he says there. And you will read such things as to turn the other cheek. You'll read where it says to bless those who curse you and to pray for your enemy. You can't do that if self is there and present. Self will never do that. Self will never acknowledge. Self will never really repent. Self will always see it's somebody else's problem as to why I am like I am, and so on. Psychiatrists are filled with people in their waiting rooms with that problem. Rejection, as we know, is because there's that refusal to forgive. And so you can't pray for your enemies. You can't bless those that curse you. You can't turn the other cheek, because self gets in the way. You see, brothers and sisters, we're never going to understand the deeper life or this message. Why? Because human beings will be committed to something. We are never going to understand this. We're never going to understand discipleship or entering into this and following the Lord unless we allow the Holy Spirit to deal with the self life. And if you don't deal with this, I can guarantee you human beings will be committed to something because it's our nature. You see, if we don't deny that self-life and make Christ central in everything we say and do and be, then we're going to put other things before him. And those other things will be yourself and the affections of what self wants. That is the problem. So you're going to hold affections for all your possessions. Everything you own and that you have, it's mine. And we'll never understand that everything that we are given, we're simply stewards over. They don't belong to us. We look after them. They've been entrusted to us. Your wife, your husband, your children are not yours. They have been entrusted to you to look after them. You are not yourself. You have been bought with a price. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet a person who doesn't deal with that self-life will have a huge problem with this. Because we want to own, we want to possess, we want to feel the security that I'm in control. We'll hold on to our families and make idols of them. We'll hold on to our positions and our careers. And that's all we can see and all we can live for because we're going to be committed to something. It's human nature. Busyness, religious works. That's why you have that in so many institutes and churches. They're all busy. They're all religious works. Why? Because they're committed to that. When we should be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and him and him alone. And when we are, everything flows as a result from that. Because we're doing the Father's will. Those rivers of living water are flowing out from us. There's the difference. We get it all wrong. And that is why Jesus presents this with regard to that self-life. Because if we don't deal with it, we will be committed to something. And it will not glorify God. You might think it does, but it doesn't. Because it's self-motivated. Until Christ replaces the self-life in us, we will make some selfish commitment or interest the center of our lives. And we do. Have you got other things that are center of your lives than the Lord Jesus Christ? There should only be one. He's the center. If you are consumed with other things, occupied with other things, busy in other things, then he's not the center of your life. And the reason being is, and we know it so well, but I'm going to read it in light of what we're talking about in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, let's just break this down to what the apostle is saying here to the church at Galatia. I have been crucified. Not I'm going to be crucified. He says, I am crucified. In other words, he settled it. It's the way of the cross. And as a result of it, he has a revelation. He has heard his experience. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, which is the hope of glory. And that is what we stress, that is what we speak about. That should be our experience of the living Christ living in me, working in and through me as a result of the cross that I daily take up. And he says that life that I now live in the flesh, because we are in the flesh, of course we are, I live by faith in the Son of God. And that's, of course, why we have taught faith over the years and continue to teach it. So that the cross, the life of Christ, the power of the risen Christ in our lives, weans us away from dependence on the things of the flesh. Those things we look to, we rely upon. The flesh will always hold you, and it always has confusion and bondage and control attached to it. That is its nature. Flesh is controlling. Flesh is rebellion. Flesh wants its own way. And God says, I'm releasing you from that bondage. And yet we still want to hold on to it and rely on it. And the only way we get that deliverance is through this cross that we settle in our lives. And the Holy Spirit, he'll do the rest. Make no bones about it. He will do it. That's what he's come for. He has come to birth in you himself, which is Jesus. That's why he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come back to you. Who? Jesus. Not some power, not some spirit. Himself comes back to us through the baptism of the Spirit, for the very purpose that we can now live by faith in the Son of God. Why do we do that? Because it is he who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is all done through the love of God, because he loves me. And because he loves me, because he chose me in Christ Jesus before the creation of the world, that love has come into my life to take over. Quite simple, but we make it so difficult. And do you know why we make it so difficult? Because we're not sure still about our affections and where they lie. And this is why you have to settle it with God. And the cross enables you and I to be able to settle it. Because then it's no longer I who lives. In other words, I no longer live for my pleasure, what I want to do. That's what it simply means. It's no longer I which live, but Christ lives in me. And he does what he wants to do in and through me. That is the deeper life, brothers and sisters. And you will never find rest and peace to your mind and heart and soul until you settle that one. And that is why we give up everything. And when you do that, you will find that whatever blessings you have in this life, and believe me, He blesses, you are simply looking after it. You're custodians to what He gives and what He blesses us with. And whether we have it or it's removed or changed, it makes no difference to my walk. And everything we have, everything we experience, we can only boast of one. It is the Lord who has done it and does it. That is why I've always believed that the deeper life teaching, the nature of it is deliverance to us. It is to deliver us. Deliver us from what, brothers and sisters? From the self. That selfish life. That is what it is delivering me from. Because if I don't deal with that, I will always make the wrong choices. I will always put self first above the Lord. And that is why the apostle boasted of the cross of Christ, and we do likewise, as we daily take up our cross and follow Him, which deals with that selfish life. It's put to death. And so there's only one other alternative, and that is the life of Christ in you, living His life daily in and through you. This is what I believe the Lord is restoring the body of Christ to. As He's got a remnant in these last days who are coming back as disciples of Christ. Not just mere church members, but disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why I believe we're in the times of restoration. Before judgment finally comes, He's restoring the body of Christ. He's restoring His headship over His people. He's bringing us back under apostolic faith that the church has forfeited for many centuries. This is why we're in such blessed and exciting times. But in order for this to be accomplished, He's got to deal with the self life in man. Because if it's not dealt with, man will want to build for God. Man will want to be in control. Man will hold on to his religious works. And God won't have it. The Holy Spirit is the one who builds. That is why when you read the book of Acts, it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, what you read there. It is the Holy Spirit who's building. The Holy Spirit who is saving, redeeming, healing. He is the one that's come to us, and His name is Jesus. But there cannot be two masters. There cannot be two lords. There cannot be two kings. There cannot be two judges. One has to go, and we have to decide that. And as I close, God never forces us in this. We have a free will. And that is why we are faced with decisions at times, because God is going to test us. He's going to see where our loyalty, our affections are. And these are part, sometimes, the trials of our faith, the testing of our faith. Because that is going to show us where the self-life really is. And as I've said, and will continue to say, you can do no more than offer yourself upon that altar. You can do no more than give your life, your heart to Him. And the Holy Spirit will receive that. And He will begin to do that work. And He will do that work through the cross that you too daily take up and follow. Because He will deal with that self-life. So there's only one other thing, and that is the life of Christ taking over, living through you and me. What a deliverance. You think about it. Think about the life that lives in you. There's no fear in Jesus. There's no hate in Jesus. There's no sin in Jesus. There's no greed, no selfishness, no lust, no control, jealousy. I could go on and on and on. He has none of those things. And that is what He's placing within you and I, so that we can totally be at rest and walk by faith, not oppressed by these things that we're still at times oppressed with, because we want to be in control. And above all, a mind that is at peace. What a blessing. That is why we have the mind of Christ, as He says. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. That is what I believe the Holy Spirit has given today. Self is often the issue. Whatever's going on, whatever you're battling, whatever the situation, very often self is the issue. And because He loves us, and that perfect love never separates us from God, He's going to deal with that issue and remove it, so that we can be healed and made whole in mind, body, and spirit. Heavenly Father, You love us so much. Your love, Father, is so great that it will deal with self. It will deal with those wrong, ungodly affections that we still can hold in our hearts. It will deal with our selfishness. Your love will deliver us so that we can be followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and live by the power of Your Spirit. Father, You are restoring the church. You're restoring us in these last days for this experience. And we know that the power of the Holy Spirit is the only one who can accomplish this. Oh Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Help us not to run away from this, to be in denial of this, to pretend or to leave it to another day. Father, if we have heard today, then we know how to act. And it is important that we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, we desire to come to that place where self is not the issue anymore. Father, You can do that, and we believe that You will do that. Because You love us, and we love You. In Jesus' name.
And have Your way right now. Have Your way. Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. As we
wait on your hands,
and as
we pray to you.
Speak your word into our hearts and have your way.
Speak it.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. As
we pray to you.
Speak your word into our hearts and have your way.
Speak your word.
Speak your word into our hearts and have your way.
Right now.
Speak your word into our hearts.
Have your way.